And joining us now is Dr. Susan McManus, who's the Distinguished University Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida and the co-author of Florida's Politics and One Powerful State. She served as chair of the Florida Elections Commission from 1999 to 2003 and helped draft Florida's Help America Vote Act state plan required by Congress to qualify for federal funding under the Help America Vote Act. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Susan McManus.
Thanks to have me.
And having been involved in the 2000 debacle in Florida with the hanging chads, etc., Susan McManus, is this deja vu all over again?
It's a little bit different, but one thing that's not different is how close Florida is. And the top two races on our ballot this year, the U.S. Senate race and the governor's race, are both in a recount mode. That's how close Florida is. But fortunately, we don't have hanging chads anymore. We got rid of the punch card ballots. We also went through a stage where we had the electronic voting machines. We ditched those, so now we have optical scan ballots, which means that we do have a paper trail, which may come in handy because after this next count is due this week, it may go to some places where we have to have a hand recount, and we will have the actual paper ballots.
And that hand count looks as if it'll be the Senate race between the outgoing governor and the incumbent Democratic Senator Bill Nelson.
Right. And the reason is that if it reaches a threshold of 0.25%, that's when it goes to a hand count, a manual count. It will only be most likely in the Senate race, which is the closest. It doesn't look like the recount's going to change the governor's race outcome, but the Senate race possibly. The real issue is a huge number of undervotes, meaning a lot of people pass by voting in the Senate race in the most Democratic county in the whole state, which is Broward County, which most people know as Fort Lauderdale area. The question is, was it a machine error or a sort of calibration error, or was it just that people decided to pass it by because from the get-go, the governor's race was more exciting to Floridians for a lot of different reasons, which we can talk about, but primarily a minority candidate, two young people of Generation X, the final candidates for governor. But it also could be the case that it's the undercount is because of the design of the ballot, bringing up images of the famous butterfly ballot in 2000. But at issue is the Senate race, which is by law the first one on the ballot, was placed on page one immediately under the instructions to voters. And it looks like the same column. I haven't physically seen it. I've only seen pictures of it, which meant that some people skipped it and went to the next. At least that's another theme. So what we will see with the recount that's due this Thursday is whether it was a calibration error, which could suddenly create a lot of votes for Nelson, or whether it just seemed to be a format error or people simply passing the race by. But that's really the essence of the battle right now.
Well, when you say that's a bit reminiscent of the butterfly ballot, that was a case where the formatting was poor. And what I find extraordinary about that was, or what I recall being extraordinary about the butterfly ballot, was that the local election supervisor was a Democrat and that the law in Florida allows both sides or all sides to approve the ballot before it goes out. So,
right.
So it was pretty astounding that the Democrats approved a ballot that ended up where a lot of people who voted straight Democrat ended up voting for Pat Buchanan.
Well, that was because that ballot also expended to 2 pages. The supervisor of elections, Teresa Lepore, had attended a seminar on how to better serve elder voters, which, of course, the southeast part of the state has a lot of retirees, and font size was one of the issues. So what happened was that presidential ballot went to 2 pages, and some people, particularly new voters or people that weren't paying a lot of attention, voted for more than one candidate for president, which meant that the ballot was cast out. But the same situation extends to this current day ballot format. The supervisor of elections, elected by voters in Broward County 3 times, she's an African-American Democrat who's long served the county, and the similar thing applied today is that both parties had to sign off on that ballot. So if it's a formatting issue, it's going to be real interesting to see what could be done to remedy that. I don't think a whole lot.
Well, the evidence, though, is that a lot of people voted straight Democrat and particularly voted for Gillum, the candidate for governor, the Tallahassee mayor, but those same people didn't vote for Nelson.
Well, the order in the ballot is like this by Florida law. The first race on the ballot is the Senate, and then the congressional race that, you know, that applies to your where you live, and then the governor. So the governor was the third race on the ballot. The question was the Senate race, which was directly in line with voter instructions, did people just simply not pay attention to that, miss it because they assumed it was part of instruction, and then went to the congressional race and then to the governor? But it's a formatting issue we know for sure is at the heart of a lot of this discussion, and again, why everyone's holding their breath. If you're a Nelson supporter, you're holding your breath that there could have been some calibration issues with machines that cause the machines to skip over a race. And keep in mind also that Broward has the second largest number of voters in the whole state. It's a huge county and predominantly Democrat. So Nelson is counting, hoping that it was a calibration error, at which point they'd have to go back and look at those machines and try to isolate them. Or if it's a calibration error that, you know, the machines are currently calibrated properly and he suddenly gets a large number of votes, it looks like it could have been those missing undervotes, then that certainly could tip the election his way.
So, nevertheless, lawsuits are flying thick and fast, are they not?
Oh, yes.
It's, and today, Senator Nelson called on Governor Scott to recuse himself. The president himself has weighed in as well, and both Marco Rubio, outgoing Governor Scott, and the president himself are all basically crying foul. But the much vilified Secretary of State back in 2000, Catherine Harris, has basically told everybody to behave themselves and saying this is not fraud, this is just how we count our votes. So who's listening to Catherine Harris?
She's not getting a lot of attention. You know, there's some sadness in her life. She recently had a suicide in her family, so she's really kind of very low-key. And, you know, her name has come up again, of course. But since just within the last hour or so, there's been a court case filed by Common Cause and the League of Women Voters and some others that are asking the courts to keep Governor Scott from being involved at all in the recount process in his role as governor and part of the certification board. So that's just the latest lawsuit. What it really looks like, you know, is the fact that both sides, who have obviously carefully studied the legalities that were in place and the arguments during the 2000 election, are each side is really trying to protect via lawsuits any channel that might help them in terms of, you know, an argument about a specific dimension of this race, which maybe hasn't even surfaced yet. If you recall the 2000 election, it ultimately got into the federal courts via the 14th Amendment, and Nelson has filed a case that involves the 14th Amendment in a federal court, again, sort of learning what the Gore campaign did wrong in 2000. And, of course, the state Supreme Court will ultimately probably be involved. So it's become another court battle, even ahead of the formal vote counting.
Well, but one is a little suspicious of why these, you know, senior officials, the junior senator, Marco Rubio, the outgoing governor, Scott, well, of course, he has a dog in this fight, obviously, and the president himself. And the president's saying stuff that seems completely ungrounded in reality. His latest tweet was, the Florida election should be called in favour of Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis, in that large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere and many ballots are missing or forged. An honest vote count is no longer possible. Ballots massively infected. Must go with election night. Now, none of that apparently is true. And
well, it's also illegal because there are three reasons why election night totals are not the full picture. One of which is that if you vote by mail, which increasingly a large share of Floridians are doing, your ballot must be in to the Supervisor of Elections office by 7 p.m. on election night. But once you have voted by mail, your signature must be checked against a signature in on file, and that obviously cannot be done on election day. That has to be done after election day. So you have a, just think of it, you have a big stack of people whose, you know, mail ballots have arrived on election day in the office, and they have not had time to open them, number one, and scan them through, number two, and then, you know, before even that, check the signatures on the back of the envelope to make sure that they match with what's on file. So that's one pile of stuff that you have. Another is provisional ballots, which were part of Help America Vote Act, which were designed to make sure that someone whose eligibility was questioned at the polling location, whether at early voting or on election day, would not be disenfranchised but could go ahead and cast a ballot, and the validity of that person as a registrant would then be checked later. So we have a lot of those provisional ballots because somebody didn't bring, for example, a photo ID, which we have really easy laws on that. Voter ID has never been a real contentious issue in Florida. But somebody doesn't bring it, and then, of course, they have to cast a provisional ballot. And then, ultimately, it's checked by election officials to make sure that that person, when they show their ID and whatever, was voted, was okay to vote, eligible. The third one, which is really interesting in light of Florida, is overseas and military mail-in ballots. They won't even be counted until November the 16th. And overseas ballots can come from academics, from business people, from embassy personnel and whatever, not just military. And there are thousands of those that were asked for, requested, but have yet to be returned. So three different stacks of different kinds of votes that would not have been counted as of election night and entered in those totals.
Well, the races are tightening, and I can understand why Governor Scott and President Trump are nervous, but Governor Scott called Senator Nelson a sore loser and alleged that he is just here to steal this election. And he sent his people to the election facility, which has been under siege by pro-Scott protesters. That was a little bit reminiscent of the famous Gucci loafer demonstration. So what's going on in the state itself amongst the people? Are they really responding to this kind of demagoguery? Because the Florida Circuit Chief Judge Jack Tudor said there was no evidence of wrongdoing, and he found that these accusations were baseless.
This state is so polarized and evenly divided that, you know, people are basically looking at it through very strong partisan, thick partisan lenses, and that's the answer. For one, but number two, most people here are very, very sad for the fact that elections in the other, most of the counties have been very well run, and the supervisors are very competent, and the machinery is working, and everything's going smoothly. But they're, you know, they're sad that this pale of incompetence has been thrown over all of these supervisors when, in fact, it's really the problems are concentrated in a couple counties. That's one viewpoint. Another is that there do need to be some changes in election law, which now we've seen some of the things that new technology would make go a little bit more smoothly. Some of these counties that are having trouble right now have old scanners that don't load as fast as some of the newer equipment, things like that. But in general, if you ask somebody what's their viewpoint of it, they just say, I want it done with. Why can't we get it right? I mean, you hear practically every Floridian say, why can't we get it right? And why are we having this all over again? But when you ask them who's to blame for the problem, then it becomes very partisan in their answers.
So what's your sense then, just in closing, Dr. Sus McManus, about the attacks on Brenda Snipes, the election supervisor in Broward County, who's pretty much in the crosshairs, particularly of Governor Scott and of President Trump?
Not only them, but even some local Democrats have complained about it, because after all, if you really look at her record, and she's a very lovely person, but, you know, her staff sometimes has done things that even a federal court, you know, ruled that she had, her office had destroyed some absentee ballots, before they should have been destroyed, things of that nature. The office itself has a bit of a spotted history. I've not heard anyone other than staunch partisans and rude people really personally attacking her as a person. It's much more the incompetence, maybe her management style and her staff training hasn't been up to speed. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a lot of racism that I've heard in public venues. I mean, you surely probably find some in blogs. But now even some local Democrats saying that it's probably time for her to step aside and let someone else run for that office.
Well, Dr. Susan McManus, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Dr. Susan McManus, who's the Distinguished University Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida and the co-author of Florida's Politics and One Powerful State. She served as chair of the Florida Elections Commission from 1999 to 2003 and helped draft Florida's Help America Vote Act state plan required by Congress to qualify for federal funding under the Help America Vote Act. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into the ongoing and devastating wildfires in California.